StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another interview in our series with the European Enterprise Network, Hessen and Hessen Trade and Invest. Today, I would like to welcome Martin, the founder of ARCheck. Hey, how you doing?
Hi there. Nice to meet you.
Totally my pleasure. It's great to have you here. And the interesting thing is you are the founder of an augmented reality AR startup applying AI, but in a field I would never have thought of. That is pretty interesting, and that's why you are here today, our enabler. This recording is supported by Hessen Trade and Invest and the Enterprise Europe Network. These organizations have made tremendous contributions to helping startup businesses succeed and thrive, providing a range of services from helping to find grants to ongoing partnerships. By taking advantage of these resources, startup companies can network and develop innovative strategies for success on the international stage. The dedicated support of HTAI and the Enterprise Europe Network is paramount in providing startup businesses with the tools for lasting success. Look for our dedicated sub-podcast in partnership with them called Tech Startups Germany and or look on our Linktree. Martin, now that we do have that out of the way, I may tell our audience, yes, your startup is from Hessen, the area around Frankfurt, one of the states of Germany. You are in AR and AI, but actually you are not a techie by heart. How did you end up in an AR startup?
Well, it was by chance, actually. So I never had the intention to open a startup. Actually, I'm from the cleaning business. And I worked in the cleaning business for about now 25 years. And when I started in like in the year 97, I was working for a company where I started to organize cleaning contracts for my customer. That's actually how I got in touch with the cleaning business. It wasn't actually my purpose, but sometimes things happen like this, but I was fascinated by the cleaning business, and it was very interesting for me to see how this works, how the processes work, and I had so much ideas to improve the processes, you know. And so I quite fast found out that my strengths lays in improving methods and processes to optimize cleaning tasks and whatever has to do with it. So this was actually my passion. And a few years later, I founded my own cleaning company. That's how I actually got into this business. And how did I come up with this kind of technology and to connect it with cleaning? That's actually the interesting question. So I was looking for a solution, for a software solution for my own company, and I was visiting all different fairs in the whole world, which are specialized in cleaning. So they're quite popular ones in Holland, for example. I forgot the name right now. I will find out in a minute. But it's a huge fair in Holland, and which is also in Las Vegas and in Italy, and there are some quite big fairs, cleaning fairs in China. But wherever I went, there are specialized providers of software solutions, but actually they weren't able to solve the real problem in cleaning business. You know, they solve everything around, but the problem is that they didn't have a solution to enable a cleaner who doesn't speak the language in your land and maybe doesn't know how to clean to help him to clean in a proper way right from the stand right away. So that's what I was actually searching for, and I couldn't find a solution. So I decided to figure out something by myself. And so what I did is I was searching and projecting an own system. And after a time, I found out that it is possible to do something. But there wasn't the technology on the market. It was on the market maybe, but I didn't know about it. So I had a quite crazy a science fiction idea, but I figured out that it's not possible to realize it. So I put it into the drawer, and there it was laying for 1 year until I was watching TV, and there was a program about the company Google, and they talked about the Google Glass, and that was, I think, in 2013, and that's the first time I came in contact with the augmented reality technology.
Mm-hmm. When you've been talking about cleaning business, we may tell our audience what you're actually talking about. Most people will look around in their apartment. Yes, I would need to clean again, but that's actually not what we're going for. I mean, literally hundreds of people every night go, for example, into all the high-rise buildings here in Frankfurt, all the office space, and clean it. There are a lot of different buildings out there that need cleaning because nobody lives there, but they need to be clean. Think about nursing homes, think about hospitals, think about everything from kindergarten to school to university, yada, yada, yada. So that's actually the business we are talking about. And it's really big in Germany, right, Martin?
Right.
Do you have a number how big it is here in Germany alone?
Yes. First of all, I just remembered the fair is the Interclean. It's quite big. Mm-hmm. What I was talking about, and according to the market in Germany, it's a quite big market. So, in 2022, the turnover in Germany was like 22 billion euros. And, there are about, a little bit less than 1 million, cleaners, on the market. And that's about the B2B business. So there's also the private business in cleaning, which is also quite huge. I don't know the numbers of that, but yeah, and of course we have the worldwide market, which now is about in 340 billion euros, and mm-hmm. the market is rising quite positive. It's about I think something about 6.2% per year, and it will be the market will be. In 2030, it will have a turnover of about 530 billion euros. So it's a quite attractive rising business.
We may also tell our audience that this is about like the professional cleaning, meaning there are long-term contracts. There are a lot of people involved. But my understanding right now from the conversations we had before is that you have quite a lot of turnover in terms of employees, and not everybody is familiar with cleaning. They just need a job and they go there. And that's actually when your solution comes in, right?
Correct, Joe. Absolutely. Yeah. So what we have to take in mind is that the cleaning business is a low budget business. And so it's a quite big, how you say in English, cutthroat competition. So everything is about the price. So the problem is that there's not enough money for the cleaner, to pay the cleaner. So there is a lot of it doesn't work how it's supposed to work, because there's not mm-hmm. enough money. And the only way to support to do a better cleaning is to support the cleaner. So actually, as we know, and it's also like in different countries, in Germany, we have the situation that most of the cleaners come from other countries and they don't speak very well German. And the cleaning companies actually don't have a lot of time to school them, to show them how to clean. And even if you do it in a proper way, you never can be sure that the cleaner, after you left him and trust him that he will do the cleaning in the correct way, that he will do it right. So this causes a lot of quality problems and a lot of costs. And that's why cleaning is also quite emotional, because customers are quite often unsatisfied, and then you have to take care. Then you have to talk to the cleaner and show him how to clean. And so cleaners quite often don't stay in the job quite long. And even if they're sick, you have to have somebody else who will do the cleaning for them. Or when somebody goes on vacation, you need a replacement.
Martin, I have just one question here. Right now, there's rampant influenza. There's RSV, there's Corona, and I've heard in the news that there's a record high in people calling in sick. Can you give us a little example how it really is during influenza season to run such a business, and how many people call in sick, and how do you get replacements?
Well, you know, that's quite a challenge, you know. So I mean, we have our system. So when this happens, and we have how you say downside, right? When with cleaners, we of course have to. We have personnel, so we can like amortize this. Is that how you say it? I'm not sure.
Amortize.
But the point is actually that the problem is not the cleaner. The problem is the missing technology for this. And that's what I understood in all this business, because most cleaning companies say that the problems are the cleaner, but that's not true. The problem is actually the cleaning company and the missing technology to support the cleaner. And that's how I came up with AR Check, because that is a system which directly supports the cleaner in real time, shows him how to clean with in which how you say Reihenfolge, in which
order,
in which order, which material, and it also checks the quality in real time. And the savings which can be made by automating these processes through hardware and digitalization, the money saved by this can be used to pay even the cleaner much better. So we will not have the downside of missing cleaners. So that's positive also.
I've also seen that you can establish some standards. For example, one of your pictures shows somebody wearing, I do believe it's a HoloLens, right?
Right.
A HoloLens, and the picture shows for toilets, just only use red cleaning racks, something like this. So that makes it easier, like more standardized?
Yes. Well, you know, The point is there are codes, there are color codes in cleaning business. So, for example, the red rack is used for toilets, and it's supposed to be used only for toilets, not for the, for example, the kitchen or for something else. So that's another point where our system is recognizing in real time when somebody uses not the correct cleaning items. And this quite helps. To take care for a proper cleaning, to make proper cleaning sure.
I see. And can you tell us a little bit, the first article I found on you guys with Deutsche Startups back in 2016, of course, I'll link it down here in the show notes. Can you take us along the journey, what you've done since? Because that is quite some time. That are something like almost 8 years now. And what have you done during that time? How did your product, your idea develop? And how far are you in the entrepreneurial journey?
Yes, indeed. That's quite a long time. You know, the problem we had is I came up too early with this idea. So I stood in front of the question is, we've done a due diligence and we found out it will take about 10 years until the right hardware will be on the market. So I stood in front of the decision to wait like 10 years and to patent the system 10 years later, or to be on the safe side and patented it in 2014 and wait like 10 years and start the business. And that's actually what we did. So we launched the patents, the first patents in 2014 to save the patents, which was quite smart because already, I think about 1 year later, the first companies tried to patent the same system. So it was quite a good decision to make the patents. So we had to still wait for the hardware. And we used the time to do some experiments and see what we can actually do with the hardware on the market. But we were quite lucky because already after a short time, the first glasses came on the market, which were actually usable for our prototype, which was the HoloLens, the one you can see. It's not the exactly the one. It's the first version. It's the HoloLens one. And the one you can see on our website is the HoloLens 2. So we used this opportunity to build the prototypes based on these glasses. And actually, that's what these glasses are good for. So the future glasses we need to totally automate cleaning business, they will look a little bit different. That will be another generation of glasses. But the ones you can see on our website, the HoloLens 2, already fabulous works for the prototype, which shows that what we are looking to do really works. So it was quite stunning. It's a little bit comparable like the first cell phones in the 80s, which were quite big and had a weight from, they were like 10 kilograms. And you couldn't do much besides, you know, talking to somebody. The same thing is right now. So these glasses are in a quite early stage, but we already can see now the new patents on the market and the new systems where we are quite, we're quite excited that the next generation of glasses will be the glasses which can change the whole market in this business. And
I actually had to smile when you were talking about the cell phones. I vividly remember the time when you had a suitcase. You needed to talk on the phone. I'm even old enough to remember that at one point, people could only have something like similar to cell phone in the car. So car phone. Right. There was that status symbol. Amazing, incredible. You've been so important when you needed one from the company, when you got something installed, and they've gotten quite a lot smaller. But my personal understanding right now is the development from those huge car phones that you could only install in cars to what we have today, to, let's say, the iPhone, the first usable smartphone, took quite some time, something like 15, 20 years around that. But my understanding is right now the augmented reality development goes much faster. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the time we were too early, you know, we had problems to make investors understand and convince them that this is the future technology. And we had a quite hard time. It's a bit comparable at the time when Jeff Bezos was raising money and he explained his business model and he had to explain to the investors what's actually internet. They didn't know in these early days, and we had the same problems to make them understand what it is about augmented reality. And so we're now in a time that actually everybody knows about it, you know, everybody sees it. And what makes us very happy is that now the biggest tech company in the world is launching the first AR glasses. So we're talking about Apple. And now everybody actually sees that this is the future. And connecting this with artificial intelligence allows us to do absolute new systems, new value chains, and we can do things in the cleaning business which were before absolutely unthinkable. So everything is going in the right direction right now, according mm-hmm. augmented reality and what we are doing, of course.
I see. And can you give us a little idea about the economics? Because my understanding is a HoloLens is right now pretty expensive. And as you've said, the hourly rates you can charge for your employees cleaning have to be somewhere around 20, 25 euros. Maybe. So it takes quite a while until you can get something amortized that is something like 3,000 euros. How are the economics working right now, and what do you see for the future?
Well, I tell you what. Of course, the glasses are quite expensive now. We started like in 2000 and I believe 16 or 70. The first glasses we had was a Dockery helmet. It was actually a helmet, you know, with the augmented reality display in front of you. It cost about $21,000. Later, we were able to buy the HoloLens number one, the first version, which cost like $5,500. And now we have the HoloLens 2, which cost about $3,500 or €3,800. Besides that, there are other companies like Dockery or Wolf, not Dockery, but I forgot the name now. But whatever. What I can tell you about the pricing, I don't know how you say it in English. It's called in German is Sekundär- und Begleitprozess. So that's the process which you need to make sure that cleaning happens. This needs a lot of money. So automating these processes can lower the cost extremely. So for example, an hour of cleaning from a company costs about 23 euros right now, something between 22 and 25 euros, the regular cleaning. And when you use the glasses, even if you use holo glasses and you pay for the license, for the AR check license and the sensors which are needed to stick to the cleaning equipment, right? You can still lower the price to about something of to 19 euros to 20 euros, even those high costs, you know?
Because you reduce something you would just simply call an overhead.
Yeah, that's the overhead. Yeah, right. That's the overhead. And on the long term, we have to understand that the new technology as it is today and as we can see what it is capable to do, I believe it's just a question of time that it will be able to provide cleaning better than any cleaning company. So actually what I'm saying is the future is not cleaning companies as it was like the last 100 years, but it now begins the era of hard and software based cleaning. Yes, we'll make it better and cheaper.
But just to confirm with you, neither you nor me see like all the buildings getting cleaned by robots in the next 5 years.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't believe that robots will take over. You know, I've seen the robots, for example, on the Interclean, and I've seen the number one producers of these robots, and one is quite popular in Germany, which is Fraunhofer Institute. They're working on a robot as well, and I've seen how it works. It doesn't actually clean proper. It cleans very slow, and when it cleans, it leaves marks everywhere. So it does clean, but it's not clean on the end, you know. And I believe, and not only me, that's the main experts say that it will take quite a long time till cleaning robots will take over the cleaning business, And when it begins, a cleaning robot will be actually expensive as a middle, middle cost car. So it will cost about, I don't know, like $50,000 or $70,000. It will be in the beginning quite expensive. But it will come. I believe so. Yes. Today's cleaning robots for the floor, the professionals ones, they work quite good.
Mm-hmm. Do you also have something like a small cleaning robot for your personal house, like a vacuum robot?
Actually, I don't. we have one where we produce the software. We have one because we are trying to connect. We are testing to connect cleaning robots with the glasses. So the cleaning robot actually, you know, when the cleaning robot cleans the floor, there are some spaces where he cannot clean because there are chairs. There are tables, and there are some spaces where he cannot reach. And what we actually want to do is to connect AR check with those cleaning robots. So after the cleaning robot has done his cleaning, you just put on the glasses, and you can see the spaces which have not been cleaned by the cleaning robot. So
that's where we use it. Now that we do have an understanding, what are the economics, what you guys are doing, can you take us a little bit, how far are you on your entrepreneurial journey? So you do have a prototype. I've seen a lot of very interested companies on your website that reach out to you and want to work with you. You got, I do believe it's called letter of interest from them, something like Marriott, Kasha, and other companies there, which I actually find pretty impressive. Plus, you got the German Design Award winner 2020, right?
Right.
And when will you start with this MVP product?
First of all, I have to tell you that a lot of companies, they contacted us already a few years ago, at the time where we even haven't the prototype. So, but at the time we were producing the prototypes, even more companies came up to us and showed their interest in our system. Mm-hmm. Some of them found out about our patents and contacted us. Some saw us in the internet. And in the meantime, the first investors came on board. Till now, we have about, I believe, 9 investors, which enabled us to create the first prototypes. And now, actually, we just finalized the prototype phase, and in this year we are starting the MVP phase. So this is actually the very important year where we will create the first product, which we will launch into the market, and in the meanwhile we will test it with custom pilots. There is one or two you can see on our website, and the companies shown on our website are actually only the tip of the iceberg. So there are lots of more companies which we are talking to and which are interested in using our system in the future.
Mm-hmm. I see. You've just talked about investors. Are you open to talk to new investors, potentially new investors?
Absolutely. I would love to. We have started our third funding round right now, and I love to invite everybody who is quite interested in our project. Our project is groundbreaking. It's disruptive. It will change a whole market, an entire market. And what I can say is I'm very deep in this business, and I know what it is about. And I believe that we can make this thing very, very big.
I do believe those are pretty amazing closing words. Martin, thank you very much for being a guest here on my podcast. Thumbs pressed for your future success. And I do believe we will link down here in the show notes your LinkedIn profile so investors could reach out to you, as well as your company website and a little bit more. Thank you for being a guest here.
Thank you for having me, Joe. Thank you very much.
And thank you to Hessen Trade and Invest and the European Enterprise Network for sponsoring this episode. Have a good day. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.